All right, so let me just say this right off the very top. I'm not even going to welcome you back. I'm not even going to say how great I feel. I'm not even going to preview my next guest, who I have immense respect for. Let me just say this right off the top. Even before the sponsor mentioned, stop with this bullcrap about Marvin Gaye. Like, where did that come from? Because all that does is spawn even more bullcrap. Like this. Hey, Rome, I've got plenty of affection for my sons. Signed, Mr. Menendez. All right, I'm not having it. Not on my watch, not on my show. Get that bullcrap out of here. Take it to your local show. Do better. In fact, just go. Just go. All right, welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Still happy. Still going to be a great day and a great week. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Then Rocket can. Quickly, we just heard from PGA Tour golfer Ryan Alford. Great story. He's going to make his debut at Torrey Pines tomorrow. Coming up in hour number three, NFL Network legend Daniel Jeremiah. And we're joined right now by somebody you know I've got profound respect for. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is the EP of Killer Inside, Aaron Hernandez, Netflix doc. He is the author of the Epic Athlete series. He is co-host of the College Football Inquirer. My man's been known to toss back a Bush Light or two. Friend of the program, he is Dan Wetzel. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Bush Light or three.
My man, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to say that, but time, okay. Man. That works.
Dead. How are you feeling? Winter, you got to do it, man.
Got to do it. How you doing? How's life?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I'm excellent. I'm glad you cleared out the troubles before my thing there.
Yeah, I tried.
But everyone's safe.
I tried, but it only encourages them, so you can only do what you can do. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm still coming to terms with that weekend of football, and there are a number of things I want to talk to you about, but why don't we start with Matthew Stafford? Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are getting a lot of attention right now, but what did you make of the way Stafford delivered in the final minute on Sunday?
I mean, well, it was brilliant, right? I mean, 45 seconds to go, and you take him downfield. Other than Patrick Mahomes, it's impressive. But it's what Stafford's been waiting to show and what he's been hoping for his whole career. He spent a dozen years in Detroit. He led 39 fourth-quarter comebacks. The amazing thing is they only won, like, 78 games there. So almost half his games were fourth-quarter comebacks. But, you know, they weren't in the playoffs. They weren't big games. They never won a division. And he's a guy everyone knew had a ton of talent and put up big numbers. But the question was, can he do it in a big game? Is he just a guy who does really, really well on a team with no expectations? It's one thing to lead a comeback when you're on a 6-10 team. It's another to do it on the road against the defending champs and Tom Brady over there. And he made the play, made the right call, made the right understanding of the mistakes that Tampa was in and made the right decision to go to basically his fourth option, which is Cooper Kupp deep. And he threw a perfect pass to him and hit him and got everyone down there and spiked it and won the game. This is what Stafford always believed he could do. And this is what the Rams believed he could do when they traded for him. So I thought it was a huge legacy moment for Matthew Stafford.
We're talking to Dan Wetzel. So what about that, Dan? Those questions that you had pointed out and posed that have existed for so long about him, did he in fact then answer all of those questions? And now do we see him now in a different light? Is he there or does he still have more work to do?
I mean, he probably has more work to do, but he certainly, I don't think, he's just going to get written off as a guy, well, you never won a playoff game. He didn't just quarterback a team that won a playoff game. He won them the playoff game, which is what you want out of a quarterback. And they very easily could have just faded, gone to overtime. You don't know. That coin flip goes whatever way. You don't want Tom Brady with that ball and you lose. It wasn't him who had four fumbles. I guess the snap was technically blamed on him, but that errant snap, I don't think really was his fault. So, you know, does he answer and you sit there and go, oh, this is a Hall of Famer or this is one of the elite guys? No, but he eliminated the doubt that he can do it. Obviously Sunday and this, the rest of this season, if it goes two games for the Rams, are instrumental on that. But I do think people should have a different view of him. He was a really good quarterback in Detroit. He did a really good job in sometimes bad positions. Could he have done better at times? Absolutely. Should they have won a playoff game or won a division at some point in that run? probably. But the swing of he's good enough or he's just a stat guy, that never really was accurate. That was a great play by him on Sunday.
We're talking to Dan Wetzel. So, Dan, bottom line, like, the Rams took an enormous swing when they brought him in. They got Von Miller. They got Jalen Ramsey. If the Rams don't win on Sunday, you referenced the next two games. If they don't win on Sunday and they don't win a Super Bowl, was the trade for Stafford still a success?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. They have a belief that late first round draft picks don't have the same value that other people put on them. And when you're going to have the records that if you do what you're expected with the Rams right now, you're picking 28 or later, or 20, they're going to pick 29, 30, 31 or 32. So that pick that they're giving now to Detroit has much, you know, it loses value and they just don't see that as this huge thing. So, I think it's still a successful trade for them because I don't know that Jared Goff would have won them that game on Saturday. And if that's the case, then what are you trying to do here? I like the Rams mentality. I think as a fan, you would like the Rams mentality of saying, let's try to win. We've got Aaron Donald here. Let's build around him. We've got a good quarterback. We got Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. Let's make this, get the best quarterback we can get, and then let's get some help for Aaron Donald, make him even better. They've got a loaded team. Let's try to win. I like that mentality rather than sitting there saying, having a GM who's so worried that they're holding on to the 30th pick in the draft. Two 30 picks for Jared Goff and a third for Matthew Stafford is going to be a good deal for them.
Hey, listen, for the record, I could not respect it or love it any more than I do. I love that mentality. I love it. Not everybody wants to win. It costs money to win. People are afraid to win. I absolutely love that mentality. So let me ask you about this.
I'll say this, Rome. One thing that fans miss a lot with GMs is being a general manager in any sport, you takes a long time in your career. You start as like a scout cream and sugar for the coffee guy, right? You don't make a lot of money. And when you get to the GM, you start making money. And there is a lot of general managers in all over sports that sit there and say, how do I get another contract? How do I keep this job for 7-8 years? Not how do I win? Fans automatically think the number one and only motivation of every person in a front office is how do I win a title? Because that's the motivation of fans. That isn't always the motivation. It never gets said, but you can see it in how people just sort of tread water and hope they're the GM for 11 years and they walk off with a ton of money.
Dude, that's part of why you are who you are. I love that point. I love that take. It's funny, right? Like, you always hear about players trying to find a way to play for, it's not that first contract, it's your second contract. We're talking about GMs trying to GM for their second contract, not their first contract. I think that's a great point that you make. So the Rams win that game, and then in the aftermath, there is all of a sudden, and it wasn't even the aftermath, Dan, it started before the game, this notion and the speculation that maybe Tom Brady has played his final game. When you look at his production this season and his durability over the years, was there any part of you that was thinking that might be it?
Not really. Only because the only two things that, you know, you point to is one, he's 44. So every time it's a fair question. The other is, does he think he can win the Super Bowl next year in Tampa? That's the only motivation for Tom Brady. He's not playing for money or fame or anything else or staff. And so then you sit there and say, okay, well, what if it's not in Tampa? You know, what if it's in San Francisco? What if it's somewhere else? Who knows? Who knows what Tom Brady's going to do? He can do anything he wants. It's Tom Brady. But there's nothing in his game that makes you say he's not doing it. The durability, he hasn't missed a game since 2009 due to injury. He had the four games Deflategate suspension in 2016. And even with that, he has the longest active start streak of any quarterback in the NFL. You know, it's absurd. He's 44. He's got the Iron Man streak going right now. And he hasn't missed one since 2009 for injury. He had a very good, you look at Pro Football Focus, which I really like, as you know, a lot of the advanced stats, top three in all sorts of them. So he's top three MVP. I think he can come back, no question. I think he will. You know, he always at the end, there's been a lot of attention in the last 24 hours. He said, I'm going to talk about my family. He kind of says that stuff every year. So
right.
I think he'll probably be back. But at 44, you just don't know. But he said he wanted to play for 45, and all he's got to do now is show up at training camp. He's going to be 45.
So, Dan, if the ring is the thing, and you wrote about this, like, if Chris Godwin's healthy, then Tampa Bay's got weapons. But as you write, Gronk is getting older. Tampa Bay brought back everybody from last year for this year. So it would only be tougher to do next year. If the ring is the thing, do you think Tampa Bay affords him the best opportunity, or might he find it someplace else?
Well, I mean, I think that's something he will look at. He may not say that out loud, but I think that's something he would look at. Put it this way, what if the Niners want to move on from Garoppolo? And I'm just making this up, okay? This is a complete speculation. But, you know, they're not sold on Garoppolo. They're going to go with Trey Lance at some point. What if it's like, hey, Tom, 1 year, come home, back to your hometown. You grew up a 49er fan. You're the quarterback next year. This team is loaded. We get one more year, Trey Lance, and you know what, Trey? You're going to learn under Tom Brady for you. Not a bad situation if all that happens, and I don't know if all that stuff would happen, but you could see a scenario where you go, that makes a lot of sense right there. So he's Tom Brady. He's plug and play. He brings a culture. He may bring Gronk with him. He may bring other guys with him. You don't know. Very, very attractive, needless to say, free agent if you want to win next year. I wouldn't sit there and I wouldn't give him much more than one more year, but that might be something that would make him pretty interested.
I don't think that's so far-fetched. That makes sense. Dan Wetzel joining me for another moment or so. One more thing. You had a piece on the Buffalo-Kansas City game in the final 13 seconds. I mean, you understand what that part of the country is like. You understand what that team means to those fans. You understand what those fans have been through. What kind of scar tissue are those 13 seconds going to leave the Bills players and the Bills Mafia?
Yeah, Bills Mafia, I mean, look, that's as painful of a loss as I've ever seen. Bills fans are conditioned to know that hope is a dangerous thing. So you never hope. You never assume we've got this game won. We're going to win. We're going to host the AFC Championship game. We're going to win the Super Bowl because I think we got the best player on the planet, Josh Allen. And if this team could beat Kansas City, we can beat all these other guys, right? It is a dangerous thing for a Bills fan. So they know. They teach their children, do never believe. But when you are leading by 3 points with 13 seconds left, how do you not believe? You relax. You make the mistake, and you go, we're going to win. You check for StubHub for tickets. You start thinking about how we can beat Cincinnati, and we can beat this NFC stuff. We're going to win the Super Bowl. And then, boom, the sucker punch comes in a way that none of us have ever seen, and all of a sudden it collapses. I did a story through their local sports radio at 5:50 a.m. up there, WGR, and the morning show, Howard Simon and Jeremy White. And, you know, they got on at 6 in the morning. You know, the game ends at 10. Guys had stayed up all night waiting for sports talk radio to begin so they could start calling in and go through and try to begin the stages of grief, the denial, the anger, the venting, all this stuff. It was a crazy sports radio show on Monday morning in Buffalo, as you imagine. These guys were the mass grief counseling for Western New York. And so you just got to feel bad for these guys. And they got to hear everyone else go, that was one of the greatest games ever. Wasn't that exciting? Yeah, it wasn't exciting in Buffalo.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think there's another fan base quite like that, and every fan base says that about their fan base, but I really believe there's not another fan base like the Mafia, and I know there's not another fan base that's gone through what they've gone through. Let me finally ask you this. Like, organizationally, it's one thing for the fans to have to endure and deal with this, but from an organizational standpoint, as an example, it seems like the Seahawks never really recovered from losing that Super Bowl to the Patriots in the final seconds. How do you expect the Bills to respond to this loss? I mean, how do you recover from something like that?
It's a huge thing. You can't just run it back. And you know, they're probably going to have some changes on the coaching staff just because people are getting jobs and things like that. But it is something that they need to absolutely address. Now, look, they have Josh Allen. They have a lot of good players. And you should be okay with that. That will start with that. You have Josh Allen, I'm going to like your chances the next 10 years. But it is a thing. And you wonder about the doubt with coaches. Like, all of it has to be addressed. They'll probably never tell us all the truth, but in that locker room, because the players won't even know, why didn't we squib kick? Shouldn't we squib kick? Why do we do this? Why were we in that defensive formation? why did we not cover Travis Kelce on the final play? Like, it was going to two guys. How do we not guard Hill, and how do we not guard Kelce? What were we doing? And all of that has to absolutely be addressed, or it takes on a life of its own. Football teams are big organizations. There's lots of players, and it's because and everyone scatters. And if I'm Sean McDermott, I am trying to meet every single player directly, individually, and as a group, and try to get over this as fast as possible, because the longer it simmers, those losses are gut-wrenching, and those players gave everything they had, and it didn't happen. And I'm not saying they'll tune out the coach, or maybe they tune out another player. You just don't know. That was I don't mean to overstate it, but these words, that was a trauma for an organization, and you have to address that trauma.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think it was traumatic for sure. So really quickly, like, Dan, if you're Sean McDermott, if you had to guess, does he pull everybody aside and say, we will not let this define us? Or if you're a player, are you looking for something more from him? Are you looking for the coach to say, we let you down, I let you down? Do they need to see ownership, if you had to guess? Or does he just tell them, we're not going to let this define us, we will move on?
I think this is where a coach is at is actually most valuable. Some guys will be like, fine, that's it, we're not going to get defined, and that's enough for them. Other guys are going to want to know why. Why did we make that decision? And maybe it's, look, and they're going to want that accountability of, I made a mistake, or I didn't communicate this, or this player didn't listen, or I don't know what happened, right? All we know is that 13 seconds, they drove down the field and kicked the field goal. And the team was shell-shocked. I mean, once that, the defense had no chance on that final drive. They were absolutely shell-shocked. The way the Falcons were in that 28-3 game, or, you know, again, the Seattle's never quite recovered. You need to find a way to connect with every one of your players and everyone in your organization. It is a big challenge. It is a big challenge for Sean McDermott, but you have to do it. Some guys aren't really going to care. They're just going to be like, all right, moving on, next thing. Some guys are going to care deeply.
I think shell-shocked is a perfect description for it, and there is an awesome responsibility ahead of them. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times best-selling author. If you haven't seen it already, he is the EP of Killer Inside, Aaron Hernandez Netflix doc. Also, the author of the Epic Athlete series. On top of all of that, a co-host of the College Football Inquirer, Dan Wetzel, my guest. Dan, really appreciate it, as always. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thanks, Rom. Always fun.
Talk you to too. Always fun, Dan. Always fun. Profound respect. Nobody better. I've told you before, I think pound for pound, he is as good of a sports writer as there is in this country. That kind of respect I have for him, because his depth and range are pretty amazing. And we'll tell you things that you have not heard before or thought about. Adam Schefter tweeting, Bears are finalizing a deal to hire Chiefs Assistant Director of Player Personnel, Ryan Poles, as their next GM, per league sources. And apparently now that is now final. All right, so the Chiefs lose a key figure, and the Bears have a new GM. 1-800-636-8686. I think that conversation about the Bills is really fascinating. Like, where do you go from here? That's not one of those things where you burn the tape, you never look at it again, you don't bring it up again. You can't do that. You have to address that. And I really liked what he said at the very end, Dan Wetzel, where he said, you know what, some guys are going to be fine. Some guys understand it happened, it sucked. Let's go. Let's go. Let's move on. But other guys are going to want to know why. You know, we did everything you asked of us. We bought in completely. How the hell did that happen? How did that happen? How did those guys beat us with 13 seconds left? You know, and I like that coaching staff a lot. And I still like that coaching staff a lot. However, and here's the big caveat. If you're somebody who's going to, and this is any coach, if you're going to demand out-and-out accountability for all things, when something goes that terribly and that traumatically, the leader, the guy in front, has to be accountable. If the guy is going to demand accountability every single day, at every single practice, at every single meeting, and every single rep, if something goes that badly when you're 13 seconds from the greatest opportunity ever, you're going to have to be accountable, right? Or it's the biggest bit of hypocrisy ever. I think he's right. I don't think the Seahawks have been the same organizationally since they let that get away. And understandably so. Can you imagine what sacrifices are made and what kind of commitment is made in a game that you have won only to let it get away over play calling? Like, how did that happen? Even the Bills, his whole point about they have been conditioned not to hope. It's almost in the curriculum, right? Don't have hope. The kids were almost raised that way. Don't have hope. Hope is a dangerous thing. Can you imagine being brought up like that? Hope is a dangerous thing. Could you imagine? I mean, we all want to teach our kids the opposite, right? Hope springs eternal. Not hope is a dangerous thing.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
What a great line. And a sad, sad notion. But with 13 seconds left, not only did they and we all have hope. Hell, I was halfway to Buffalo. Personally, I was halfway there already for the Sunday show. Not only was hope okay and realistic, that game was over. It was over 13 seconds. So how do you come back from that? How is that not going to stick to you? All right, maybe it won't, but you better have a damn good plan for addressing it, owning it, cleaning it up, fixing it. And that's not going to happen in one team meeting, I don't think. It's going to be really interesting to see how they respond, how they bounce back. That is the epitome of a leadership challenge. So Bills fans, you had a couple of days now. Where do you come out? How are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about your ability to bounce back? How are you feeling about your coaching staff? Man, how the hell do you feel if you're Josh Allen? I think he'll be fine. I really do. Man, that's a tough mother bleeper. He is. But there's got to be some guys in that locker room who are going to have a hard, hard time getting over that. All right, let me take a short time out. Good topics. Good things. 1-800-636-8686. Open phone lines until Daniel Jeremiah joins us. My thanks to Dan Wetzel, as always, with thought-provoking conversation. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Do not compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so heads up, short segment to get caught back up on the clock. This guy writes, Romy, I really appreciate Dan Wetzel enlightening us about the difference in GM mentalities. As a long-suffering Reds and Panthers fan, I wonder sometimes if the guys in the front office are even trying. By the way, thanks for playing We Are Family. Not only is it stuck in my head, but I hear BK and the Jugheads doing their version. Jeff C. and NC.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana.
I love the cameo by Chicken Man. That's a part of my workout playlist now. In fact, that's the first song I bumped to get me in the right mindset. I thought that he made such a great point about the mentality of some GMs. that they're not in it to win it. I've said this so many times on this show. Believe it or not, in professional sports, not everybody is in it to win it. Believe it or not, not everybody in pro sports wants to win. Not every owner wants to win. They want to win just enough, but they're not in it to win it or win all of it, because winning can be really expensive. And then the point that he made about GMs, hey, listen, not every GM wants to win. GMs start at the very bottom. GMs start as interns. GMs start as being somebody who's maybe cutting some tape. GMs start bringing coffee around, slinging coffee and donuts. Once they work their way up and finally get to the top and get that paycheck, you think they're not going to do everything they possibly can to keep that paycheck and get another contract? Les Snead does not strike me as a guy who's worried about losing his paycheck. This dude's all in and fearless. Maybe he knows that if he were to lose that paycheck, somebody else would give him another paycheck. Or maybe the guy just wants to win really badly. Either way, I thought Dan Wetzel made a great, great point. Which version of that song do you like better? You're entitled to your opinion, but there's no doubt.
Family.
Nothing against Sister Sledge, but it ain't BK and the Jugheads. Nothing is.
Family. Family.
You already did. It's usually when you do a cover, it's not as good as the original, but every once in a while, somebody does a better job. BK did a better job of We Are Family. Well, he didn't do it alone.
Family.
He had the Jugheads with him.
Family.
Bill Radka. Dan Wetzel just hit the nail on the head. Hope is a dangerous thing in Buffalo. Like I told my 21-year-old daughter, now you truly understand the meaning of being a Bills fan. I let them back in, and it's brutal.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
Who, your kids
so you never
or the
hope.
Team? You let them back in. And then this guy is not the only one, but probably the first one, so I'll just get it out of the way. Hope is dangerous. Signed, Hope Solo's family.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
I don't condone violence of any sort. I'm going to say that, and I'm going to let that breathe. I do not condone violence of any sort. But can you find me a better line than a family member dropping her full name and laying it out like that? Hope Solo is beating people up and we need help. Check that. My bad. Hope Solo is going psychotic and beating people up. Go ahead, Alvy.
Cowards.
Hope Solo is going psychotic. Beating people up.
Check that. She's bleeping beating people up. I keep screwing that line up. It's so perfect. Hope Solo is psychotic. Mental health is no joke. I don't condone that part of it either. Hope Solo is going psychotic and she's bleeping beating people up. We need help.
Hope Solo is going psychotic. She's beating people up and we need help.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
That's not even like a guy saying, my aunt or this person. He Hope Soloed her. Like, you all know her deal. This is not the first call I've made about her. She's doing it again. She's Hope Solo. I don't even like doing that, man. She scares me. That is an absolutely incredible line.
Cowards.
Right. Can I have that one last time, Alvin?
Hope Solo is going so hard.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
It's yeah. Very dangerous, apparently. Mike in Mini tweets, I'm trying so hard to stick to the show, and y'all are making it so hard for me to stick to the show. Yeah, I know. Hey, Rome, it's your show. Stick to the show. I'm trying. I really am. But I got people like Mike in Mini. Jimmy, did the XR4TI plan their matching shirts? Is it National Wear Plaid Day? The guys behind the glass look like the Three Stooges. All right, let's see, fellas. I didn't really notice. Again, we don't pass through the same space. We socially distance. We communicate in manners in which we need to. I'm not checking out what they're wearing. Of course, Ritt is standing on his chair. Ritt's standing on his desk. What? Look at me. My shirt's awesome. All right, so he's got plaid. Chalk's got plaid. Albie, what do you got? Apparently, I didn't get the memo. What do you got, Albie? Get up, dude. I can't see. They're plaid. It's true. Mo, Larry, and what's-his-face are all rocking plaid. A lot of you seem to be fixated on that. Did the Stooges wear plaid? They all look fine. They look good. Everybody's got a button-down on. Everybody's got long sleeves. Everybody's got collars. No, I did not get the memo. I went with blue. Who cares? They're pros. We were out in front of this for a long time. Now it's a very casual world. It got more and more casual, then the pandemic kicked in, then people got even more casual because they didn't leave the house and they started to do Zoom calls. I've always kind of approached this like, you know what? You show up with a certain sort of energy. You show up with a certain sort of professionalism. Not to go all boomer on anybody's ass or go all old man on anybody. But even before this was a TV show, in fact, my entire career, I've always done this. I've always gone business casual. Just like for years and years and years. Long before the pandemic hit, people used to say to me, hey, well, do you do the show from home? And I said, no. No, I do a lot of prep at home every single night, but I want to physically go to a space so I can have a certain intensity, a certain energy. I want to feel that energy. No, I do not do the show from my home in my pajamas. These guys look fine. Look, I'll be the first to crack my own when they need it. They look good. Fellas, you look fine. You look good. Way to show up. Don't listen to them. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I want to talk about Joe Burrow. I want to talk about Pervin. It's not even hump day yet. Perv couldn't even let us get to hump day without having to talk about him. Because he's talking. And if he's talking and his lips are moving, then we know probably bullcrap is emanating. And it is. How about Jim Harbaugh? And it's gotten to the point where even the vest has come out of the woodwork. Jim Tressel has a take on Harbaugh. And I would love to get a phone call or two in here. Daniel Jeremiah coming up in the third hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So here's something to consider. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy, and peppered all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? So Chuck, let me ask you really quickly. Every line's lit. Have you gone through all of them? Okay.
It's lit.
That's not a good sign. There's only a couple up on the screen, which means most of them are not good enough to get on the air. So be it. Again, it's not your inalienable right. You got to earn your way in. All right, so really quickly, you might say to yourself, hey, Rome, do you just sit here and read social? I do when it's good. And it's not because I don't have other things to get to, because I do. Every single day I leave so much on the floor that I couldn't get to. Like this guy, at Shark Attack Mountain. Hey, XR4TI, I want in on the matching outfits. Let's all wear turtlenecks tomorrow. Signed, Jim Rome. Oh, now I tweet it myself and I read it back. Interesting. If I had a thought, wouldn't I just say it? And let me tell you something. Don't try me. Don't try me. I do have a turtleneck or two in my closet. And one of them is purple. And I've been eyeing it of late. I've got a purple turtleneck. And I'm not afraid to rock it, losers. I may do it tomorrow. And I'm not even going to say that the team has to do it. Like,
loser.
Rome has a turtleneck. We all have turtlenecks. In fact, I'd rather you don't. This way I stand out. Am I right, Matt Holliday? It's January. It's cold. Hey, listen, when I got my car today, it was in the low 40s. And before you come in here again and accuse me for being soft, understand, 42 to me is 12 to the rest of you. It is turtleneck weather. So if I were you, I would tune in tomorrow because there's a really good chance I'm going to rock not only a turtleneck, but not the black one, but a purple one. Don't try me. I will. At maybe Total Big E is in. Making fun of Marvin's death is unsavory. I would never, ever make fun of a musician's misfortune. Warmest regards, my countless tweets about that drummer from that band, War Photograph. It's all perspective, right? You see a drummer get his arm ripped off, and you find humor in that. I see a world-class drummer for a world-class band with his arm ripped off and return as a single-arm drummer for a world-class band. I'm in awe. Like, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. But that's the difference between me and you. I have class and IQ. A total Big E, you could have six arms and never play the drums as well as that guy can play them with one arm. Dude, you could have every arm in the world. You could be a freaking octopus and never play the drums nearly as well as that guy does with one arm. You beat it, man. Dom in Erie wants in. Dom writes, top three things Alvin is unbeatable at. Pop kids, run aboard, and be a bitch.
You bitch. No.
You don't like that car. I don't like that. I'll allow that.
You want to know something funny?
Alvin, when I say I'll allow that, it's that Alvin deserved it. Because we ran him for self-glossing, but he was just referring to his own name. So I will allow that. Van Sizzle, we look forward to seeing you in Kansas City. Sign frostbite, herpes, obesity, feral dogs, and rust. Andy from Denver. Hey, Andy, you mean essentially the things you see in virtually every other town in America? Including Denver? Well, you have no rust in Denver. Every single surface is perfectly painted without any rust. Nobody in Denver has herpes. All your dogs are neutered or spayed. There's no frostbite in Denver. It never gets cold there. Everybody is perfectly 5% or less body fat there. And he's like, nope, nope. No herpes here, yo. Nope. Come on, dude. You have all those things, Andy. And then this guy's got my back. And I would imagine he is because his handle is at Salvador Yoga. He knows. Rome. I just caught the latest episode of Billions, and I saw a character had a heart attack on his Peloton. Do you ever think that this might happen to you? Signed, that kook, Patrick, from the ATP, who keeps wishing health scares on Rome. Kook is putting it mildly, but then again, I kind of deserve it, right? Essentially, what this kook is doing is he's picking me to win my own celebrity death pool. Except the celebrity death pool no longer exists. Because if it did, I'd have writ. Look, I'll tell you this. I'm not saying that I'm in perfect health. Like, I'll give you an example. I got pretty bad gut health. That's nothing new. And I'll own that. I do not have good gut health. But I will tell you this. So I saw my doctor once who's a brilliant guy, and I believe in him, and he evolves. Like, I've been seeing the same guy for years and years and years, and things that he felt really strongly about back then, he no longer feels strongly about right now. And it's because he's evolved and does the research. Like, at one point, he told me, paleo, 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 paleo. Eat like a caveman. I'll get you to your ninth decade. And my thing's always been, well, I don't want to make it to a ninth decade if I'm miserable for the last five decades. just I'll check out in my seventh decade, or be like Rit and check out in my fourth. However, then my doctor, again, the same doctor who shall remain nameless because I don't want you messing with him because I love this guy. He's now a big, big, big plant-based guy. But he did say to me once when I rolled in there, because of the amount of cardio I do, he's like, dude, I'll tell you this. There's some things I would like you to work on, but you will never, ever, ever, ever die from a heart attack. I can tell you that right now. You will never have a heart attack because of these other things. All right, so before I actually share this, is this verified? Ian Rappaport tweets, sources, Sean Payton has informed the Saints that he's stepping away. I have two words in reaction to that. This guy literally just did the best job he's ever done. And I'm talking about a guy who's been there 15 years. I'm talking about a guy who won a Super Bowl. I'm talking about a guy who's had an amazing run. Great NFL coach. I'm going to argue that in a year where they missed the postseason, he just did his best job ever. Do you see who he was coaching? Did you see who he had under center? And again, elements there, COVID, and this guy had them in it until the very end of the season. I could see where Sean Payton might be exhausted. So, question then is, why is he stepping away? For how long? And would he take a year off and come back? And if he does come back, does he come back with the Saints or does he come back with somebody else? I just know this. That's not a good development for the Saints. If I'm the Saints, and I would imagine they did, if I were Gail Benson, I would have gone to this guy, put a blank check right in front of him and said, hey, Sean, you sign it. Whatever you need. Stay tuned. We'll come right back.